Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding first half 2015 results conference call. I now hand over to Nazim Narin. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. Welcome everybody. Thanks for attending at this time of August and Friday. Just a little bit background on the first half operational result. We have 47.1 million of revenue, which actually represents 4.6% reduction when compared to the same period last year. The main reason of the reduction in the revenue is foreign exchange differences. As you might be aware, 30% of our operations are done in at euro basis, and the euro getting stronger have impacted the results. If we had used the same parity, the results would have been 1.5% more than the last year at 50.1 million. And on the other hand, on a segmental basis, the EBITDA went up by 2 million, which represents an 8% increase. Similar story here. If we were to use the same parity, the increase would have been actually some 13% at EBITDA level. I mean, cruise operations went very good, actually. So there was a 14% increase on the number of tourists we have handled. In the first half, the 1.3 million passengers passed through our cruise ports. And the biggest upside coming from Cuyahoga, and especially in Barcelona. On the commercial ports, which is mainly Antalya, the marble exports continued to drop. The Turkish marble exports to China in the first half year of 2015 has decreased by 30% in general, countrywide. We managed to get some market share on that aspect, and our reduction was only 20%. I mean, we continued on the diversification. It is, as you're aware, the port is not an export and import balance port. In the first half of 2014, only 15% of all containers, all full containers, were imports. The base was small, but in 2015 this number is now 25%. And the main contributors to increase imports are furniture and fruits and vegetables. The yield also continues to improve. We have in Antalya, we used to have some $171 per TEU. Now this has increased slightly more than 180. So we increased the yields roughly 3 to 4% in the first half of the year. The leverage is going down. On a gross debt basis, we closed the year with 4.8. Now, at the end of the period, in June 2015, the leverage is 4.3 at a gross level and 3.6 at a net debt level. So from 3.9 to 3.6, and 4.8 to 4.3. In terms of business business development, I mean, we are still monitoring the targets we had discussed. We are about to sign a sales and purchase agreement to acquire shares in Malta, and there would be a tender for Livorno in the next couple of months. And as GPH or QS, we will be bidding for that as well. This is the first 6 months in a nutshell. If you do have any questions, I can do my best to address them.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask a question. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question is from Alexey Yanov from Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. What should we expect in terms of dividend payment in the second half of 2015, and have you finalized your dividend policy yet?
While we haven't finalized the dividend policy other than the covenants, as you are aware, we did pay a dividend in March already. And as of today, the General Assembly and the Board has not taken any decision to pay any dividends for the remaining 5 months of the year.
All right,
the dividend for
In the last quarter, you said in the call that we should expect maybe about $15 million in remaining dividends in 2015. Does that not hold anymore?
Well, there has not been any decision on the General Assembly as regards to that one.
Okay. Is there any pressure from your parent company, which is quite levered, to upstream dividends? Do they have any pressing needs for those anytime in the near future?
I mean, the parent company is not investing mode in the next couple of months. I don't think there would be a pressure from the parent company this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question is from Loic de Robert from Aventicom. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thanks for taking my question. On your target acquisitions, you mentioned Malta, you're close to signing an agreement, and you mentioned some other potential targets. Can you please remind me what the other targets are?
Well, I mentioned the Livorno, that would
Which
be a
one,
tender.
sorry?
Livorno, it is in Italy.
Okay.
Which does around 800,000 passengers. And then we would be bidding for the Dubrovnik build operate transfer project on 10th of September, which is in 15 days.
Okay. And could you maybe give us some guidance as to how much you expect to spend and how those considerations will be funded?
Okay. I mean, in Livorno, it's I mean, difficult to say something. The port authority gives an indication for valuation, something like 7 to 9 million euros, but it is a tender. That would be the minimum price. For Dubrovnik, what we are looking at it as $50 million total construction cost. We do have 75% interest in the company. I mean, we would be financing 75% of it through EBRD, IFC, and local banks. We are in advanced negotiations. The investment period would be 2 years since there is no upfront payment. Since it's a BOT project, the equity would be injected through construction.
Okay. Okay. But for the tender, you said minimum 79 million, correct? Did I get that?
7 to 9.
Oh, 7 to 9. Okay.
Yeah. Less than 10 million. The
okay.
Indication.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. Our next question is from Nicolas Vlahek from Fitch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. With regard to the passengers for cruise, you had some good growth in the first half of the year. What is the status for, do you expect this to continue for the remainder of the year and possibly beyond 2015?
Yes, we do. I mean, the aggregate growth has been 13% in the first half. It would be double digit, but it might be a little bit smaller than that one in the full year. Double digit though.
Okay, thank you. And beyond 2015, do you have any visibility on that?
Yes, we do have visibility. Well, not full visibility for 2016, but it would be better than 2015, that's what I can say. Driven by mostly by Barcelona as well.
Okay, I see. And then in the commercial operations, the volumes were deteriorating recently, and revenue and EBITDA were therefore weaker. What's your expectation in terms of a stabilization of the volumes in TEU and cargo volumes? When might that happen?
I mean, the diversification is going well, it will be mainly driven by Antalya. In Antalya, I expect further diversification in 2016. The tariff already went up by 5%. We expect another 5% increase as far as the tariff is concerned. The question comes to the Chinese marble. We have seen reduction over the last 2 years now, but the momentum of the reduction seems to be reducing. So we have seen some 25-30% last year on marble. Now it is 20%. It is very difficult to foresee. I don't want to give any false indication. I believe there would be some reduction in 2016 as well, but it will no longer be significant. Our target is to beat this year's number by stabilizing the marble as it is, and then build on it by tariff increases and further diversification.
And when you say you expect some reduction in 2016,
No. As far as the marble is concerned,
okay.
But when we take account of the diversification, which is increasing the imports. We haven't finalized our budget yet, but we plan to be close to this year's number, if not slightly more.
Okay, so you're saying overall volumes for 2016 could be flat on 2015 or slightly higher?
Or slightly higher, but there would definitely be 5%, around 5% tariff increase, and we would work on the import-export balance, which is currently at 25%, which used to be 15% last year.
Okay, and I've got one last question, which is... go ahead.
Please do, yeah.
I've got only one last question, which is, could you give us an update on current trading in the third quarter, please?
Sorry, current trading in the third quarter.
In this current quarter, so how has performance been in terms of volumes, both in terms of
commercial operations? Well, I have July numbers only, and the cruise is again good, 10% up. In July, the marble and commercial was good as well. but we are now 20th of August. The marble this month is not going that well. I mean, so I can't give the numbers from top of my head, but we have beat our budget as far as the cargo volumes are concerned in July. But this month, it is early to say, it's not going that well. We would be slightly short out of the budget. So 2 months, I think we would be budget.
Sorry, two months?
2 months amalgamated. So July was very good.
Yeah.
August is not going very good so far.
I see. And so just to come back on cruise performance, you said plus 10% in passenger volumes.
Passenger cruise, that's what I'm talking, cruise part. Cruise part is continues to outperform last year. It is, in July it was
20% over the budget.
Some 20% over the budget. And then on the cargo side, July was a good month. It's not going well in August.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Zegeliti from Caval Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you? It's Serge. Just wanted to get an update in terms of your negotiations, if you can say anything, with guys like EBRD in terms of private equity and those connections you made in the U.S. Is there anything on the table now, or are you guys waiting until there's a more stable political situation in Turkey before progressing those conversations?
I mean, the discussions are continuing as far as EBRD involvement is concerned. I mean, what I could say at this stage, it is advanced, and EBRD's position is, I mean, they don't look at the political environment. Their negotiations are, or discussions, or the way they approach their investments in Turkey, they publicly announced it as well, is separate from the political uncertainty. So I hope this answers the question.
Those conversations are still ongoing and now at an advanced stage?
Yeah, an advanced stage, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Payal Anad from Copal Amber. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Are you still looking to acquire cruise ports in Venice, Latvia, Tunisia, Spain, and in other locations? If yes, what kind of outlay are you looking at these acquisitions? And what is the likely funding mix, and what kind of time frame we expect for completion of these acquisitions? Thank you.
Okay, I mean, I attempted to address this one in an earlier question. Our situation is, I mean, the most imminent ones are Dubrovnik, which would definitely be project finance.
Yes, I got those three ports. I was just wondering.
Okay, for the others, I mean, the tender has not been announced in Venice yet. They are still discussing the structure, and then for the rest of this year, there is no other significant transactions planned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. Our next question is from Lois de Robert from Vantacom. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, I got a follow-up question. Could you confirm what your CapEx guidance is for this year and next year? I have some figures, but I just wanted to get a confirmation of what CapEx is going to be.
For the CapEx?
Yeah, for fiscal 15 and fiscal 16.
For 15, the CapEx, the ongoing business CapEx would be 3 million for Akdeniz, some 5 million for Port of Var.
But what's the total budget? I mean, that's...
Well, the total budget was $10-12 million dollars, but since there are delays in some of the constructions, it would be around $8-9 million, what I expect.
For the full year?
For the full year, correct.
Okay, and so is some of the 15 capex pushed over to 16?
To 16, yeah. $3-4 million.
So what's your budget for next year?
For the next year, I mean, it depends on Dubrovnik's situation. Excluding Dubrovnik, it will be around $14 million.
14 extra
million American dollars. $3 million is the Antalya capex. Then it would be Portugal and rest of bar.
Okay. And so Dubrovnik, as we discussed earlier, the total cost is going to be 50 million euros, and your stake is 75%, and that's spread over 2 years.
We're going to take 75% of that one, and we're going to further leverage 75% of it.
Okay, so your equity stake is going to be 25%?
Equity stake is 75%.
Okay, so but your cash injection is going to be 25%, and you're going to borrow
the other 30%. Yes,
okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. Our next question is from Mark Baker from ADM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking the call. Could you just comment on the fines that were imposed by the Turkish regulator a couple of months ago or in the last couple of months as it related to the pooled IPO? And are those personal fines, and how do we think about that from a corporate governance standpoint? Thank you.
Okay. Those fines relate to the members of the parent company, GIH. And GIH is a publicly quoted company, as you're aware. And the announcement after the IPO was criticized. That's the only comment I can make.
But as it relates to obviously comments you make, for instance, on this call about potentially advanced negotiations with the EBRD, can we take those at face value versus perhaps some of the other comments that were made around the time of the IPO about the imminence of the IPO?
Sorry, you need to. I didn't get you there. Could you repeat it?
So what I'm saying is that I'm not sure what comments were made by Mr. Kuttmann at the time of the IPO that were subsequently frowned upon by the regulator, but clearly something didn't go quite right with the whole process. But as we're listening to you, as in terms of your discussions about the EBRD and the advanced nature of some of those discussions, I assume that's a more accurate picture of what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Okay, as far as EBRD is concerned, as you're aware, EBRD was taking was a significant investor on the IPO, which did not materialize at the time. Now what we are discussing with them, very advanced stage, is they would buy that share as a pre IPO investment for the company for a possible potential future IPO.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Sergey Leti from Carvel Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, me again. With everything trading down in Turkey and your bonds are where they are, and you seem to believe in your story as you are the management, any plans to buy the bonds back in the open market? Have you made any purchases in the bonds?
Well, the company did not. I can confirm it. I mean, it is the parent company is considering.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions. Back to you for the conclusion, sir.
Well, thanks everybody, and hope to speak to you all in 3 months. And have a nice weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you all for the participation. You may now disconnect.